I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
On the fan, nothing to say but what a day. How's your boy been? All right, 888-808-1019. How we doing on this Thursday morning as we hit 4 o'clock? I got you for another hour as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Obviously, baseball was the topic of the show as Pete Alonso saves the Mets again. Think about what the storylines would have been if not for that 3-run home run in the 8th inning to tie the game at 4, and then all the heroics after, whether it was Buto or obviously what they did in extras, able to score 2 runs, Brazoban coming in and getting the save, making plays at the plate, Lindor with a great throw at home, even Beatty with the throw, which was a critical overturn, was very, very close, but it looked like he was out to me. And they do come from behind and win the game, and obviously think of where this team would be if not for that home run. And I know it's only 6 games in, but we've said it a bunch over the last 2 days. 3-3 sounds a hell of a lot better than 2-4. And right now, we would be heading into opening day talking about another lifeless, listless performance from this offense, who were absolutely sleepwalking through the entire game against, you know, and really 2 out of 3 in every other game besides, you know, 1 this entire season, really. Vientos, with all the issues he's had, not running the ball out yesterday, followed up with a horrendous defensive game. Throwing the ball 100 feet over the catcher's head that really put the starting pitcher, Clay Holmes, in a bind in the 3rd inning, which, by the way, he figured out a way to get out of. I was impressed with Clay Holmes, even in, you know, his second start of the year, only going 4 2/3. I thought he rallied behind some bad defense. You had Taylor misreading a ball in center that allowed to drop, and then obviously Vientos throwing the ball over the catcher's head. Vientos misplaying, you know, a ball down the line, catching it fair and not having any urgency and turning that into a RBI base hit. Like, it was just an ugly day and would have been an ugly series. And Pete Alonso, the much maligned Pete, who needed this. I was told he needed this. And I'm glad he got it. The grand slam the other day and the 3-run home run yesterday that saved the Mets. And as he said, you heard in the update there, Pete Alonso talking about looking for one pitch. He's done a really good job looking for balls away and not missing them. Since that home run against Devin Williams, even in the postseason and at the start of this year, he's really looking to, you know, he hasn't really pulled as many home runs. Most of his home runs have kind of felt like they've gone either dead center or, you know, right center field, you know, Oppo Taco. And he's got that kind of power where as long as he gets his arms extended and gets the ball to the barrel of the bat, or whatever that means in today's day and age with a torpedo, like as long as he gets the barrel of the bat to the baseball, he can send it out in any park, in any direction. And he hit an absolute bullet of a line drive that just cleared the fence into that grassy knoll area over the right field wall, right center field wall. And he has been clutch this year. He's been their most productive offensive player so far with 3 hits yesterday. And really the story for me is Clay Holmes, who battled through, is still learning and making that transition from reliever to starter, and it hasn't been aces, it hasn't been dominant, but we've seen him unravel as the closer of the New York Yankees, and he has not done any unraveling. He bounced back after that poor defensive inning, let him down. I mean, he did his own damage. He walked guys, gave up hits, a lot of base runners on through his first two starts. But he's gotten big double plays. He got two strikeouts to end that third inning that he was in trouble with. Like, I feel like Clay Holmes is coming along, and those are actually two productive outings for him, starting his career as a starting pitcher for the Mets. And Pete Alonso saves the day, and instead of talking about Vientos, and instead of talking about this miserable offense, we can focus on the idea that they went on a road trip and went 3-3 in a six-game road trip to start the year. They're coming home on Friday. Juan Soto will be wearing a Met uniform. Pete Alonso's raking to start the year, saving their bacon. And they do beat the Marlins in the first time of an interdivisional series, which is so key, especially with the Braves going 0-7. You know how good the Phillies are. Someone's going to pay for that, for the Braves going 0-7. Mark my words. So it was a good series win, a huge hit from Pete, a good performance from the bullpen, a good performance from Clay, and a winning day for the New York Mets. On the other hand, the Yankees struggled. Obviously, the explosiveness of their first series against Milwaukee had everybody thinking, or at least, you know, expecting some sort of offensive explosion every night. And obviously, last night was the opposite, as they struck out 16 times, more than any time last year at any point with the lineups they were throwing out with, you know, J.D. hitting cleanup last year. J.D. Davis hitting cleanup last year, and all the terrible maturations of that lineup last year. This was as bad an offensive performance as they had at any point last year. And really, to me, I think you can throw it away. Zach Gallen was unbelievable. You watched his knuckle curve. A lot of Yankees, listen, they're relying on youth, right? We know this. You're going to see Wells, this is his second year. He actually got two hits in this game. But Wells, Ben Rice, who's hit the ball really hard, including a couple home runs already in this early start of the year. But he's young and inexperienced. You got Dominguez, who's just learning how to play baseball, really, at the major league level, including defensively as well as offensively. And it wasn't just them. Jazz got shot down. Obviously, Judge got shot down. Bellinger got shut down. They were just, I mean, Gallen was just so freaking good. And you get the home run from Volpe to make it close, but it really was never a game. And to me, you chalk it up to a really great pitching performance. I'm not overly concerned. What makes me mad is losing the night before, when you're able to get those runs off of a brand name in Corbin Burns and you're able to take a lead into the eighth inning, losing that game. That's the frustrating game. Last night's the game that's going to happen. Zach Gallen was unbelievable, and the Yankee offense got shut down. But for me, Carlos Rodon, and I know people are on him, and I'm saying, oh, bad Rodon again. Here's Carlos Rodon. Great start opening day. Now crappy start in his second start of the year, and I certainly can't call it a good start, giving up four runs in the first two innings. But I got to tell you, I was really impressed with Carlos Rodon. I was. I thought it was a really positive start for him, and I'll tell you why. Because we have seen this time and time again. How many times have we seen Carlos Rodon over the year and a half that he's been pitching for the New York Yankees where he has nothing to start the game? And I mean, last night, he had nothing. His fastball on opening day was sitting around 96, 95, 96. He starts this game, he's throwing 91, 92. He had no fastball. He had no idea where his slider was going. He gives up a two-run shot in the first, gives up a bunch of hits and walks. He has four walks on the game, all in the first two innings. He gives up another two after Marte hits a bullet up the middle. It's 4-0 Diamondbacks in the second inning, and what do you expect? What do you expect? What do I expect? What do all Yankee fans expect from what we have seen from Carlos Rodon in the past? He's not going to get out of the third. It's going to be 7-0 Diamondbacks, and this bullpen, who still has another 8-7 games now in a row, no Devin Williams last night, 7 consecutive games, this bullpen's going to have to get them through 6 innings tonight just to mop up a lousy loss where they're getting shut down by Gallen, and Carlos Rodon gives them absolutely nothing and sets them back for a game that's very important now later today with Carlos Carrasco on the mound trying to salvage this last game of a series against Arizona to not really squander the 3-game opening against Milwaukee and end the 6-game homestand to start the year at 3-3 and getting swept by the Diamondbacks. You got Cookie Carrasco on the mound, and it would have been a real disaster if this bullpen, who had to pitch last night, or two nights ago rather, who blew the lead in the eighth, have to go out there and throw six or more innings in this game last night would have been a real detriment to their chance of winning tonight. And instead, Carlos Rodon found himself. He gets a big double play from Naylor in the third to get them out of that jam. And then he proceeds to get the last 10 guys he faces out. He gets through that third, and then he goes 4-5-6, 1-2-3, and gives that bullpen a chance to breathe. The Yankees, and gives the Yankees an opportunity, although they didn't take it, to get back into the game offensively. And for me, I'm just saying that Carlos Rodon, and I'm not throwing bouquets for that performance last night, he gave up four runs. It's not good enough. He gave up four runs in six innings, but it could have been far worse, and that's what it's been from Carlos Rodon. When you think of the issues you have with him, as a Yankee fan, what are we concerned about? Him in the big spot, him in the big game, and then when things start to spiral out of control, his inability to stop it. So for me, the first two starts for Carlos Rodon, one, the somewhat big nature, I'm not going to overly call it a big, big game, but being thrusted into the opening day start after Cole goes down, they decide not to move Max Fried, schedule and plans, but they will do it for Carlos Rodon. He gets thrusted into opening day. It's opening day of the season following everything that happened in the offseason, whether it's losing to the Dodgers in the World Series, in the embarrassing nature of that fifth inning, as well as, you know, getting mocked all offseason for it, losing Juan Soto, the pivot they've made, the injuries they've had, all of that into opening day was a somewhat big game. And he pitched great in it, and he probably gave you the best pitching performance I've seen from him in a Yankee uniform. He was throwing breaking balls for strikes. He just had all of his pitches. He was able to locate a bunch. He threw a lot of changeups. It wasn't just the fastball slider we've seen from him. He pitched a really good game on opening day to kind of, you know, I'm not saying he's answered any questions, but at least said, okay, that was the first big game of the year, and he came through. And then my biggest concern of him, even bigger than the big game, is not being able to stop things from going terribly wrong if they start rolling in that direction. And I got to tell you, last night, I know it's four runs. It's against a very good offensive team that led the league in runs scored last year in the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm not happy about it. But his ability to limit the damage and still go six and give the Yankees a chance to get back into the game and give the bullpen a chance to only have to throw a couple of innings as opposed to being knocked out in the third or fourth, I actually thought it was a real positive. He gets laced with a hard line drive from Marte in the arm. He comes back with sleeves and still dominates that next inning. Like, he was able to find it. How often have we seen Carlos Rodon be able to find it? Hardly ever. He's either really good from the jump or he's really bad from jump. And the idea that yesterday we saw him struggle, not have his good stuff, not just have his good stuff and get beat with a home run or get beat with a, you know, an error behind him or get unlucky in some way, throwing 98 miles an hour. He was throwing 91, 92, and he had no idea where it was going. And after two innings, he got a big double play in the third and then found it. And I'm not trying to take, you know, bows for it, but early on in this year, when you're trying to learn what kind of team you're going to have, when you're learning you have to rely on Carlos Rodon, four runs in two innings isn't good enough. But what he did after that point actually speaks volumes to me about what you can hopefully start to expect from him. Because there is a huge difference between four runs in six innings than six runs in three innings. And it's not only just what it gave them as a chance to win last night, but how it sets them up for today. So I'm actually going to take a lot of positive out of what we saw from Carlos Rodon. I'm going to take some positive out of what we continue to see from Volpe. It's a big three-run home run in the ninth off a premier reliever in Puck. And I don't care that it's only a home run in one ballpark. It happened when it's the one ballpark you're playing in. I really don't give a damn. He's got four home runs on the early part of the year. And that's, you know, considering how big the year is, that's really positive. But the offense has obviously been cooled. They struck out and had a miserable game plan against Gallen and was swinging over every single breaking ball. And they need to make adjustments when guys have that kind of breaking ball. But ultimately, I can kind of wash it away as just being dominated by a great pitcher. It's the night before that really bothers me. And I actually saw a couple of positives that make me feel pretty good about moving forward. So I feel like you got positives from the Mets and Yankees, despite some of the losses we've seen, the starting pitching for the Mets in this early season, as we're trying to find out who these teams are. Despite only being 3-3, I really feel like the biggest question mark of this team for the Mets is the starting rotation, and so far it's impressed me. And for the New York Yankees, despite now losing these last two games, they had every opportunity to beat Corbin Burns in the first game of the series, and the bullpen blew it. And last night they got shut down, but ultimately the offense has been really good. Carlos Rodon has impressed me, even in a losing effort last night. And the kids you're relying on have gotten off to pretty good starts, as Rice is hitting the ball and Volpe's hitting the ball. So even though it's looking to hopefully salvage a game tonight for the Yankees, both teams right now, despite not being world beaters, have made me feel relatively positive about them. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island calling a little bit early in the show. What's up, Brett?
Way to go, Fleegs, embarrassing the host, asking what the odds are of the Dodgers making the playoffs.
I don't feel embarrassed.
Yeah, you said like 800. It was like 50,000.
Yeah, I was off.
That would be crazy if the Dodgers went 162-0 and the Braves went 0-162 in the same season. Imagine that.
Unbelievable. That would be unbelievable.
Chris, what makes a great hitter? You said Aaron Judge is one of the best hitters in baseball. What makes a great hitter to you?
Oh man, we keep having this dance. What makes a great hitter to me is great production. And nobody has better production than Aaron Judge. He's the best. He hits over 300. He slugs over 700. His OPS is 100 points higher than any other batter last year. He's already got 4 home runs this year. And if he has a hot April, he could have one of the great seasons we've ever seen. So that, what does a great hitter mean to me? Great numbers. Great production. A force in the middle of the lineup. And nobody is better at that than Aaron Judge.
Tell me if there's any validity to this. Mm-hmm. I have 3 online social media baseball groups, and I don't have too many.
Is this including – you have 11 giant ones, and now you've got three baseball ones.
Yeah, because I started with baseball. I want to – I'm trying to, be able to –
grow
your
social media. I get
right,
it.
Right. And, I'll do my research.
You got to grow your brand, Brett.
You're the guru with the Yankees.
I'm the Yankee guru.
What the word is on the streets with Judge, I want to see streets. If you agree.
Yes.
Is when he goes against the top starters, mm-hmm. right? And you can look at this is factual. Mm-hmm. He disappears. He beats up like he bullies
besides
the lesser pitchers.
That's
part of the reason why he's not having the postseason success. Because now you're going against these top guys that, he's just not doing as good. I mean, is that true? And the best hitters, but I'm saying you can look into it then. And I
look into it because it's not true.
Numbers,
other than the postseason, the actual numbers
against. You'll come back with numbers and say he's 20 hits off of this guy, and that's fine. Yeah. But that's why I pose that to you. I look at hitters, like if it's a spot like, and I need a guy to get a hit. I used to look at guys like a Pete Rose, Ichiro, who hit, like guys I know are going to put bat on ball. If Judge goes 0-5, would you be shocked and he struck out 3 times? You're not.
No.
You're not shocked. Soto is a sniper at the plate. He's got an eye. I want a guy. You can hit the home runs. I'll never deny that. You can be the power hitter. That's very valuable. But you got to be able to have an eye. You know the Judge does it. He loses his swing, right? These are all facts. I'm not downing Judge.
They're not facts. You're saying
that
they're facts. They're not facts.
I don't think you agree with at all. Well, you just
question. All right, so let me ask you a question. So clearly, Juan Soto had a better batting average last year because he's better at the plate, right?
Okay.
Did he
What's
or not?
Your point?
My point is that Judge hit about 30 points higher than him. Clearly, he's got a better on-base percentage than Judge because he walks so much and gets on base so often, and he's not relying on the home
valuable?
Run. So
well, stop there. Walk's valuable to you.
Yes, of course.
Is that a single or not?
Of course,
but don't dismiss that because he has an eye. I just said
I'm not dismissing it. Judge, I'm saying you're wrong. I'm not dismissing what you're saying. Does Juan Soto know the strike zone? Let me finish. Does Juan Soto know the strike zone better than Judge? Absolutely. He knows it better than almost any hitter I've ever seen. He knows it on a Tony Gwynn,
Hernandez.
I don't think I'd say Keith Hernandez. You might say Keith Hernandez. I would say Gwynn, Ted Williams. He's on that kind of level. Barry Bonds. Of understanding the strike zone, yes. But what I'm saying is you could talk eye all you want, and you can talk anything you want about what Soto does. Look at the numbers of last year. Judge had a 20-point, 20 to 30
career
point,
with Judge, by the 20, way. But go ahead.
Yeah, 20 points better on batting average. He gets on base more. He walks more. He did all of that more than Juan Soto. He hits better with two strikes than Juan Soto. He did everything you're talking about better than Juan Soto all
year long. And he strikes out
long.
Better than Soto.
He strikes out more. He strikes out more. Okay. And you just said 0 for 5. Would you be surprised? Do I care how the 0 for 5 goes? Like, I mean, ultimately, yeah, okay, we know hitting a ground ball can move a runner, a fly ball can move a runner, blah, 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 blah. He hit 320. And he had, you know, and he had one of the great seasons of all time. What are we talking about?
Friend.
Well, he doesn't have inconsistencies. What are you talking about?
Then we fast forward to postseason.
Yeah, he struggled in the postseason.
The whole discussion is based on what I just told you about the postseason, about the pitchers. Okay, all these little inefficiencies that he doesn't have inefficiencies.
He has less inefficiencies than any player in baseball. He's got
his
less
strikeouts. That's a big.
No, it's not. Everybody strikes out. Look at how many strikeouts there are. Everybody strikes out. Everybody. Everybody's got close to 100 strikeouts.
Hitters don't, though.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I know I'm going with the big guys that you like.
Who cares about Jeter? Jeter's 100. Those are 100 years ago. They saw one guy all season throw 100 miles an hour.
I'm a legend. What makes them a legend?
Not striking out? That's what makes them a legend? Not striking out?
Well, in spots, man. You've got to be able to put that on ball.
You just keep ignoring that.
I'm not ignoring it.
No, you're right. I hate 60 home runs. Goodbye, Brett. Like, you just don't know what you're talking about. All of your arguments are predicated on him not hitting in the postseason. Just say he doesn't hit in the postseason, because everything else you're saying is absolute garbage and lies and misinformation and just flat out wrong. Everything else you're saying, all you're trying to say is he hasn't hit in the postseason. Just leave it there, because everything else that came out of your mouth was absolute nonsense. Just absolute garbage and nonsense. The idea he doesn't hit good pitching, go look it up. He hits good pitching as well as anybody else. Go look at the top names. Go look at the top pitchers. He hits them all just as well as anybody else or better, because he's the best hitter in the game. He hasn't hit in the postseason. It's not strictly just because it's good pitching and he doesn't hit good pitching. That's just not true. He struggled in the postseason for two postseasons. That's it. And they were so god-awful that now every postseason number looks bad. And he's got to live with it. He's not been good in the postseason. I'm not trying to deny that. He's had good postseason series before. It's not like he's never done it. He has. The last two in particular were god-awful. And he struck out a million times. I can't argue that. But you want to talk about his inefficiencies? Are you nuts? Oh, I love the 60 home runs. Oh, no, you like singles better. Okay, I got another guy who wants to talk to me about how important singles are and minimize home runs. Go ahead, go do that. Turn Judge, if Judge wants to, right? Everyone said Ichiro, right? Ichiro's a good example. You brought him up, right? Okay. Ichiro, he could hit home runs if he wanted to. Oh, put him in a home run derby. You heard this for years about Ichiro. Put him in a home run derby. He could hit home runs with the best of anyone. And if Ichiro wanted to, he could hit a bunch of home runs and change the kind of hitter he is. But he feels he's better this way. Okay. How many times did Ichiro take the Seattle Mariners to the postseason? How many times? You want to mention how Ichiro is great? What the hell did he ever do in the postseason? He took one team to the postseason his rookie year, and they won more games than anyone in the history of the game, and then they lost in the postseason to the New York Yankees. What makes Ichiro so great? Singles? You think Ichiro's a better player than Aaron Judge because he's got more singles and because he can put the bat on the ball and because with two outs and a runner on second and nobody expecting it, he'll drop down a bunt? Great. Now you have first and third. Who's coming up behind you, Ichiro? But you got your single. Like, stop. And I'm not trying to dog Ichiro. He's great. Great hitter, Hall of Famer, absolutely. But don't tell me singles are more important than home runs. Oh, I'd rather have a guy like Ichiro who puts the ball in play than a guy who hits 62 home runs. Good luck with that. Enjoy that. See if that guy leads you to the postseason the way Judge does. See how that guy impacts your team. See how many runs that guy creates and scores instead of hitting home runs. Are we dismissing home runs now? Judge is going to take a hit for hitting too many home runs. If he was hitting 240 while hitting 60 home runs, I'd agree. He finished second in the batting title. Like, what are we talking about? All of his numbers, his on base, his batting average, everything. He hits more barrels than anybody else. He gets, like, he swings and misses a lot. He hits the ball harder than anybody else, more consistently hard than anybody else. He hits more barrels than anybody else. He does everything better than everybody else. It's not close. And that's why this stupid ESPN thing where he's fourth as the fourth best player in Major League Baseball, I'm glad ESPN is getting out of the baseball game if they're going to put a list like that together. You can make the case for Ohtani. Right now you can't even because he's not pitching. If Ohtani isn't pitching, Judge is better. If Ohtani's DHing, Judge is much better. And offensively, he's the best in the game. Bar none. He has struggled in the postseason without question, and he'll never use the word legend. Maybe he won't be a Yankee legend if he doesn't hit in the postseason and win a championship. And he won't be as beloved as Derek Jeter. And he won't be as beloved as many players that are far lesser ability and talented than he is. He won't be beloved like Paul O'Neill. He's a far superior player than Paul O'Neill. He won't be beloved like Bernie Williams. He's a far superior player than Bernie Williams. You have to win to be beloved. But baseball's about the 162. And I don't care if it's an ace on the mound or the team's, you know, sixth best reliever on the mound. Aaron Judge does more damage against that pitcher than anybody else in baseball. That's it. You talk about facts. There's a fact. Judge is the best hitter in all of baseball, and it's not close. Over the last 3 years, it's not close. Ohtani had this incredible year. Incredible year. We see how good Bobby Witt Jr. is. Juan Soto had a great year with the Yankees. He had an OPS better than 100 points, better than all of them. He hit, what did he hit last year, 320? He's doing it while he's hitting 320, and you're going to scream the one thing in strikeouts. And I'm dismissing that. You're dismissing everything. It's crazy to me. The talk around Judge is crazy to me. He's the best player in the game, as long as Ohtani's not pitching. He's the best player in the game. And he hasn't hit in the postseason, and that's a major problem, and it'll be a big issue for him in his career, no doubt. He's got to hit in the postseason, and only he can change that. And the same thing, I get annoyed when people talk about, oh, the Judge window, the Yankees have to make sure they get Judge a championship. Judge has to be a part of that. They've had good enough teams to win the championship. He doesn't hit. They could have beat the Dodgers last year. They could have. The Dodgers' rotation was a mess. They could have beat the Dodgers last year. He didn't hit. So he deserves blame where he deserves blame, but you can't change who he is and what he is and what he's done and dismiss it because of strikeouts and bring up far lesser players because they hit singles. I think you said Greg Nettles. Are we serious? Are we serious? And again, the game is completely different. The game is completely different. Aaron Judge sees the same pitcher for two at-bats, and then every time he's up, he's going to get a righty throwing 98 miles an hour designed just to get him out. Like, it's completely different. Joe DiMaggio would strike out more today. We actually did this earlier in the show. Joe DiMaggio would strike out more in today's game than he did back then. Yogi Berra would strike out more in today's game than he did back then. Tony Gwynn would strike out more today than he did in the early 90s and late 80s. They just would. The game is different. Everybody strikes out. And teams don't even coach against it as much. It's not the same disrespect. Players don't feel the same way about striking out as they did back then. But please, you want to try and dismiss Judge because he hasn't in the postseason? Just end it there. Don't give me all these lies about he doesn't do this good enough, do that good enough, do this good enough. Because the facts are he does all of those things better than anybody else. Other than steal bases. He's just got to do it in the postseason.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:36, Monaco here with you on The Fan. We'll take your calls on it if you want. Again, if you hadn't heard, the ESPN put out a top 100 baseball players list. MLB Network has done it too. ESPN, who is not in the business of baseball after this year, at least that's as of right now the case, had a list of best baseball players, and they had Ohtani 1, Bobby Witt Jr. 2, Mookie Betts 3, Aaron Judge 4. That is absolute nonsense. Coming off of last year and the players right now without Ohtani pitching, it's Judge number one, and it's not close. And again, just real quick, he led the league in WAR at 10.8. He led the league in home runs, RBIs, walks. He finished third in batting average at 322. Bobby Witt Jr. won the batting title at 332. So he was 10 points, and then Vladimir Guerrero was 323. So he was 10 points off the batting champ and finished third in batting average. He led the league in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, OPS plus, total bases. Like, he leads the league in everything. He is the best hitter in the world. That's it. You don't have to like it. You could talk about the postseason, and that's fair. And he's going to have to live with that. And if your point is the best do it in the biggest moments, fine. I can't argue with you. But I will tell you that over the course of 162, against great pitchers, against bad pitchers, two strikes, no strikes, ahead in the count, behind in the count, someone, you know, having protection behind him, having no protection behind him, a reliever, right-handed, left-handed, late in the game, early in the game, whatever you want to say, Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball. That's it. And to say otherwise is just flat-out wrong. It's just wrong. And we did Mookie Betts the other night. Mookie Betts is better. Look at Mookie. Mookie Betts has won three championships, sure. He absolutely has. He's won three championships, two with the Dodgers now, if we're going to count 2020, which I do. So he's won three championships, two with the Dodgers last year, 2020, and then obviously 18 with the Red Sox. Go look at his postseason numbers. Other than the strikeouts, they're almost identical to Judge. Judge has a higher OPS than Mookie Betts in the postseason. Is that how we should judge it? Is it strictly that Judge, you know, that Mookie Betts was on better teams that had other players step up around him better and was able to go win championships? Because his postseason numbers are exactly the same, other than Judge has struck out a ton. Judge has a little bit of a higher OPS. That's right. Everyone is telling me that Judge is the worst postseason player in history. He's got a higher OPS than Mookie Betts. Nobody would have said that. Nobody would have guessed that. Nobody would have thought that. 888-808-1019. We could talk regular baseball as well, obviously. We don't have to focus on Judge the last bit of the show. We can, obviously. And then the other thing I wanted to say real quick was Alcantara is kind of on the trade market. The Mets were very open when asked about it, wanting to trade for him. Soto, Lindor, everybody talked about how, you know, the presence he has on the mound, how great he is and everything. And so it's kind of asked this question about, I asked this question about, like, whether or not they could trade for him, and I honestly think, like, there's a Met-Yankee thing to everything now, and we're having this conversation about Mets and Yankees, and I've been, you know, I'm a Yankee guy, Yankee fan, and I would tell you that the future, there's no, I don't believe that the future is so much brighter for the Mets and the Yankees. I don't believe that, you know, the Mets are going to go on this great run and capture the city while the Yankees are floundering here. Like, some of the narratives I think are stupid, but what I will tell you is, both with need and ability, the Yankees don't have a prayer to get Sandy Alcantara. Like, you just have to understand where they are as a team right now. The farm system is not there. That's why I want to go out and make trades like Nolan Arenado and make it just about money. And if you've seen Nolan Arenado, I was screaming about this, he's having a great start to his year. Tom Verducci did this whole thing on how hard, how his bat speed is picked up, how much harder he's swinging the bat, the contact he's making. It was the first time in 3 years he's caught up to a 98-mile-an-hour fastball up in the zone. It's been 3 years since hit a home run for. It's the first time in 3 years he's hit a home run with a 98 fastball or better up in the zone. He's picked up his bat speed. He's had a great start to the year. I want Nolan Arenado here. They're in desperate need of a right-handed bat. He should have already been here. Go get him. That's just money. Sandy Alcantara is going to take some of the biggest prospects in your farm system, and the Yankees don't really, they're not going to trade. The Cashman's not going to do it, especially when they just invested so much money between Rodon 2 years ago, how much money Cole is making. They just paid Max Fried all this money. They're not going to invest all the money and all their prospects like Lombard and maybe Jason Dominguez, because that's what it's going to take to get a 29-year-old superstar, you know, ace starting pitcher. The Yankees are out. Yankee fans, don't even think about it. Don't consider it. There'll be moves at the deadline. It's not going to be for a starting pitcher that level. They've invested money in it. They don't have the prospects. You're not going to invest all your money and all your prospects into your rotation, where the rotation, let's be fair, has been minimized in baseball. But the Mets, on the other hand, have to go out and do it. That's the perfect move for the Mets, right? You built up this farm system. You've you did what you did with Scherzer and Verlander to acquire assets. You've got really no real holes at the major league level offensively. You got these guys all playing infield, like, and you don't want to invest money into the starting pitching. Go trade for Alcantara. He's 29. You've got him a year before 30. Like, he's going to, obviously, it's what you're desperately in the need for at the top of the rotation. It's a perfect fit for the Mets. They should absolutely go do it. And just, you know, they have a, they're in a position where they can go do it. And I screamed about this, you know, at the start of the year with Crochet. Go get these young starting pitchers, because you don't want to, you either have to develop them or trade for them because you don't want to pay them. So I think Sandy Alcantara absolutely should be a Met. That should be their number one focus. The team seems to be open to it and understanding. I mean, they've probably all been discussed as open as the as Cohen and Stearns are with some of their superstars. Those comments felt almost directed, much like, you know, Nimmo was saying, you know, it, we should buy, you know, at the deadline 2 years ago. So, or last year, rather. It almost feels like they're open to it because they know that the team is open to it. So the Mets should absolutely go out, make a trade for Sandy Alcantara. The Yankees, I don't think the future is this dystopic, horrible, you know, barren wasteland, but I also don't think they're in a position right now to go trade for a top starting pitcher. I wouldn't even think they'd consider it. They're going to probably look for relievers if they're going to look for arms, and they're probably going to look for a bat, which they desperately need. 888-808-1019. Actually, we'll take one quick call, and then we'll break. Let's go to EJ in Allentown. What's up, EJ?
Morning, C-Mac.
Good morning.
50-year Met fan here. I'd rather have Judge on my team than Soto. And this
of
is not disparaging Soto.
Because you're smart.
You clearly have certain callers that are just want to be antagonistic. So it must be a slow night, man, and have a need to call you. Because if you can't see the fact that this man is a two-time MVP, should be a three-time MVP, because he should have won it in 2017. Yeah. And he is in a group of only I considered him MVP in 2017, which would put him in the top 10 in the history of baseball.
To be considered top 10 in the history of baseball. Like,
well, as a Met fan, again, and this is not slighting Juan Soto. The biggest positive Juan Soto has over Aaron Judge right now is age, and that is really it. Because I would rather have my lineups better right now if I stick Judge out in right field at Citi Field. I have a better lineup. I have a better defensive lineup. I've got a better offensive lineup. Not slighting Juan Soto. We're comparing Juan Soto to what you consider and I consider the best player in baseball.
Yeah,
and if you can't see it,
then you're blind,
calling because you're bored and you're just argumentative and you got nothing better to do.
Well, that does describe Brett in Long Island to a T. Thank you for the call. Bored, argumentative.
Well, I didn't want to mention the name, but did.
No, it's okay. Well, listen, it's okay. That's exactly what he is. He's bored and he's looking to get into a brouhaha. But, I agree with you. Juan Soto has two things. Let's be fair. He has two things. He's won a championship and he's been better in the postseason and he's younger. Those are the two things. And those are significant, and that's why I got all the money. And if I was building a team or franchise today, I would take Juan Soto over Aaron Judge because of the significant amount of years that he's younger. But I would still say this, and I said this the other day, I don't put past performances as some sort of guarantee looking forward. If I was starting a team right now, today, for one season, I would pick Aaron Judge over Juan Soto, and I don't think it's close, even knowing the postseason history, because there's no reason why Judge can't go into the postseason and be great. I fully expect him to. Just because he hasn't before doesn't mean he can't moving forward. And in a big spot over the course of 162, I don't think it's close. I'd still rather have Judge. Soto doesn't do anything better than him. In the postseason, he has. Over the course of 162, there's nothing Soto does that's better than Judge. He understands the strike zone a little bit better and you know, very good at that, so maybe he'll draw a walk a little bit better, but Judge had more walks. Now, you could say that has something to do with Judge hitting behind Soto and no one hitting behind Judge. Yeah, of course, but Judge walks too. He's got to hit in the postseason. Otherwise, these conversations that make no sense are going to continue to happen.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
right, 4:52. McMonagle here with you. Just a few minutes more before 5 o'clock and the warm-up show comes your way. So let's get into the calls as much as we can. Rapid fire style all the way to the top. Let's go to George in Middletown. What's up, George? You're on the fan.
Hey, how are you? Good to hear from you. Good. You know, I listen to you all the time, 4:30 on my way to work. I just got to work. I deliver mail. I heard you with all the stats on Aaron Judge, and I couldn't agree with you more that this guy has a litany of serious accomplishments. But here's the problem I'm having.
Okay.
I've been a diehard Yankee fan. I can count on one hand how many times this guy got a critical hit in a big time. I remember one double down the left field line, just past third base, walk-off, he won. I have a hard time trying to find out why everybody says he's the greatest. I remember Bill Parcells saying, and I love Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells used to say, the thing that separates good players from great players is pressure. And Aaron Judge does not respond to pressure.
The idea that you are a diehard Yankee fan and you're telling me you're having trouble remembering any big hits tells me that you're either a Yankee fan who only cares about the big hits in the biggest of games, because, I mean, the guy has had a ton. He's had, what, like 4 or 5 walk-off home runs. He hit the grand slam against the Red Sox last year as they were floundering. He, I mean, carried them the entire season of 22, while the offense was falling apart around him. He was hitting home runs. He dealt with the pressure of chasing down the home run record and was dominant throughout the entire rest of that season. Like, he has, and again, the 2 wild card games that they won, he has home runs in. He had a 1,000 OPS in the 2018 series against the Red Sox.
Okay, yeah.
He had a very good.
How many of these home runs
have been bad?
Right. Okay. How many of these home runs, sir, does he have after the 6th or 7th inning?
A lot
of his runs and productions come early.
No.
He's responsible for the Yankees getting on the board. But I'll tell you, I'm getting a little tired of watching him in the postseason lights are shining best.
I know. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. I do, and I understand your point. And I want to get to a couple calls. But here's the point. You guys are all making stuff up. Just say he needs to hit the postseason, because everything else you're saying is lies. That he doesn't come through in the clutch, that he doesn't hit late in the game, that he does. It's all lies. He has been clutch. He has been great. He has carried the team. He has walk-off home runs. He's got big home runs. He's got big hits. He got a hit last night in the 9th inning, a single. Like, he has constantly been their biggest clutch player for years. It's just not true. He hasn't done it in the last 2 postseasons, all right? And you're upset with that, and you should be, and I get it. And he needs to be better. But let's stop manufacturing more to the argument, because there isn't any. You've got one argument. And by the way, it's a good one, because he sucks in the postseason the last 2 years and was a critical reason why they lost the World Series. And he did nothing up until Game 5. So please, that's a good enough argument if you're pissed at him. Stop window dressing it with lies, because you're hurting it. It's just not true. The guy has been and home runs to give you a 4-run lead in the 3rd inning is a clutch home run that wins you the game. The guy has been a monster. He leads the world in everything. Stop it. He hasn't hit in the postseason. Please. Everything else is just garbage and lies trying to make that argument stronger. It doesn't need to be made stronger. It's a fair argument. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. Chris, if Judge let off for the Dodgers, he'd score 150 runs a year.
The
guy's a 5-tool player. He's not a big lumbering slugger.
No, slugger. Of course not.
He's a 5-tool player. Look, I'm a Mets fan. I talk to you about this all the time. I'll take Judge in a heartbeat. He's better than Mookie Betts. I'm the guy who called Rami and pointed out the OPS in the postseason.
Yeah,
Mookie Betts did nothing in the postseason for 3 years. Then he got hot last year. The insane part is that, like you said, I could see Judge going crazy in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He's some. I mean, when Ohtani hit the walk-off homer tonight, I mean, he's, I understand Ohtani's amazing. I understand how unique he is.
Yeah.
But they were saying, he's a superhero. There's no one like him. I'm like, yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's somebody like him.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for the call. I want to get to Tony in Montreal. But yes, they're, other than the stolen bases, that's it. I mean, that's a lot, and it's a lot of stolen bases. But to me, base stealing is a means to an end. Base stealing should help you score runs. It's about scoring runs. It's not about stolen bases on their own. Let's go to Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, C-Mac? I'm going to make this quick, okay? I've been watching baseball players since 65. You got Stargell, Rice, Reggie, Hank Aaron, Clemente, Munson, Gwynn, Jeter, Conigliaro, Vlad Jr., Vlad Sr., okay? The best swing, power swing, were those three swings I saw when Judge hit those three home runs. If anybody doesn't understand pure prolific power, watch the old Yankee films on the greats. And Judge is a great. And the reason, C-Mac, you give me the kudos right now and say I want to talk to Tony, I evaluate hockey players, okay? And it's the eye test. When I see a hockey player, I don't care what anyone says. It's what I see. And I'm not a pro in baseball, but I'm an evaluator for almost 50 years. And let me tell you something. Judge is the greatest power home run baseball player, bar none. And if you did the same evaluation about all those guys I just said, about how they were in the playoffs versus the regular season, you might find the same type of, let's say, not as great success. But if you're talking pure baseball talent and greatest hitter in baseball, you're watching a living icon play. He's in the class of Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron broke the Babe Ruth record on April the 8th.
Thank you for the call, Tony. We're up against it. I appreciate it. But yes, he is. I mean, when all is said and done, he's going to go down as one of the greatest hitters of all time. I mean, he's already got two MVPs. He could have won three. He's off to a great start this year. I fully expect him to be in the MVP conversation this year. He's a great player. And to say that he's hit 62 and 58 over, you know, two of the last three seasons, but none of them were meaningful, is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But hey, people want to be ridiculous. There, and you hear a lot of Met fans saying, oh, he's the greatest, and the Yankee fans saying not, because the Yankees won championships, and Judge hasn't given them one yet. And he's going to have to if he wants to be beloved. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll be back with you at 2 a.m. Fliegelman, good to see you again. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy the warm-up show. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health.
At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.